Hey everyone, welcome back to the Stingers and Dingers podcast. This is Trey, and I am back with some new content coming and more coming for the next couple weeks, so definitely excited to be back in the mix. Today's episode is going to be covering the Folsom Golf Course Empire Ranch. I recently moved to Sacramento area to look for a home. Me and my wife are moving up into this area, so I'll have a new slew of courses to cover. But this being the first time I played a golf course in, actually not the first golf course I played in Sacramento, but since I've moved up here full time, definitely thought this would be a good episode to talk about as well. So just to hop straight in, so Folsom is just east slash northeast of Sacramento along Highway 50. The area is predominantly white collar. So overall the jobs are basically around like Intel. There's a big Intel office there, and so there's a lot of built around that, and then a lot of people commute into Sacramento as well for some of their jobs. It is host to one of the only public golf courses in the area, so there's a couple of outlying areas that have courses including Granite Bay, El Dorado Hills, Cairn Park, etc., but those are all private. The closest public golf course that is near to Folsom is either in Folsom or about 20 to 25 minutes away, depending on the drive and traffic, etc. So it plays kind of a prominent role in this community. Empire Ranch is a club that was built in 2002. It was built by Brad Bell. Brad Bell is a pretty, it looks like a primarily Northern California architect. Designed courses such as Turkey Creek, which is in Lincoln, which is just outside of Sacramento, Coyote Moon, which I believe is more towards Truckee, Teal Bend, which is Sacramento, and then Yucatecu, which I've talked on a previous episode, which is out in Brooks, which is about maybe 45 minutes northwest of Sacramento. So all of his work is primarily in Sacramento area. I've played, let me take a look at two of the courses, so Yucatecu and Empire Ranch. Completely different courses, and I'll get to that when I talk about the architecture style in a little bit. But it was actually quite interesting to take a look at this compared to the other one. Because Folsom is a newer area and has some more newer developments built in the last 20, 25 years, my guess is that this was probably built around the time when they were developing the actual neighborhood. And I'll talk about that in the architecture design as well. But yes, so Empire Ranch, par 71, 18 holes, about 6,600 yards from the tippy tips. It is self-described as a links-style golf course with a balance between challenge and reward. I thought the thing that was really interesting about this was that it was a big community feel. I first drove into the course, and I've been practicing here a little bit, prior to playing here. Well, it's basically my practice station for the moment, and noticing a lot of things. It's a big community hub. The local high school, Folsom High School in Vista del Lago, have their teams practicing there pretty much every day when I'm there in the afternoon, which is really cool to see. It does pack the range though, so it is sometimes hard to find a stall, but also it definitely has a big community vibe. People from the community are going there to meet each other, play golf, and it's people know each other there, and that's really, really cool to see. I really appreciate that in a public golf course. I believe the course is managed by Club Corp. As far as I'm aware, I don't believe it's owned by the city of Folsom. So that is something to keep in mind as well. It's still owned. It is a public golf course, but owned by a private entity. In terms of the practice facilities around it has a, I believe, a 25-stall range, so a decent-sized range where you can hit full drivers and everything, as well as it has a chipping green and a putting green, so I appreciate having both of those, and both the chipping and the putting green are separate from each other, so you're not hitting chip shots into one green and might accidentally go onto the next green. It's actually the putting green is closer to the clubhouse and the chipping green is closer to the range. And they're both free, so you can come and just chip around and putt, do whatever, and it doesn't cost you anything, which I really appreciate. The clubhouse is pretty standard, nothing crazy for a public golf course, which is, I'm not expecting anything crazy nice for a standard public track. Standard pro shop, has a bar area for food, sandwiches, hot dogs, you name it, it's there. Even a cocktail if you're feeling a little bit rough at the turn. So, in terms of facilities, I was overall impressed with it. The challenge I have with the facilities so far, my one criticism is the golf balls there on the driving range are well worn, would be a generous statement. A lot of them are balding, and what I mean by that is the dimple pattern is so worn down, it's almost like you're hitting like a tiny lacrosse ball, or some of them have gouges in it. They really haven't invested in either getting new range balls or pulling the bad ones out. My guess is that part of that is they're not incentivized to because it's the only golf course in the area, so where else are people going to practice? So that's a little bit of a bummer, especially for a course that has a super stock or stocked up range all the time with so many people there. It's a little bit disappointing to see that on that side. All right, let's hop into the course. So the course itself is 6,100 or 6,600 yards, par 71, slope 127. Designer was Brad Bell and is a self-proclaimed. He describes it himself as a links-style golf course. I do have some issues with that statement, but I'll get into that in a second. The golf course itself, not very long. When I played it, I hit the ball pretty far. My driver carries about 290, 295. I can get it up to three builds if I really go after it. I felt like my driver, I was able to bully the course on some holes and on some not. And I think some of that goes into the good architecture design of it and the style of the golf course. But also the backside was completely different. I was able to kind of, muscle my way around the backside a little bit more. So I'm going to go kind of just describing the front side and the backside and the differences as well as the hole by hole, just so you can guys get a feel of this. So first hole, not a very long hole. I believe it's about 380 yards, par four, dogleg left, tee box, going up to the fairway, it slopes uphill, and then fairway, top of the fairway to the green actually goes downhill. So from the tee box, can't see the green, can't see the fairway bunker. That's about 280 out from the very back of the tee box. So, it sets up for, a layup. If you hit it about 280 off the tee, with anything, you're probably going to want to lay up, just so you don't get in that bunker. So I hit about a 260-yard club there. But if you're too far short, you can't see the green from your second shot. So pretty interesting in that way. And it does slightly dogleg left as well. But overall, I thought it was an interesting starter hole, and a pretty good, I guess, handshake, if you will, into the club. So, number two, par three, from the very back tee to the middle of the green is about 175 yards. So not a super long par three, but it did play into the wind when I played it. So it played, I think it was back pin 188 was the number. It probably played closer to 200 or 210. But the green's quite deep. But the green, I think, is about like 40 yards deep. Yeah, 50 yards deep. By the way, I'm looking on Google Earth to get exact measurements as I'm going through this. So, I mean, it could play anywhere from 175 yards to all the way up to 150 to all the way back to 200 if they really wanted to, which makes the hole interesting. So I definitely appreciate that. Pretty straightaway par three though, bunker on the right side. Number three, par five. There's a bunker that you can carry pretty easily if you're a decent player. It's 265 to carry the bunker. There is hazard on both sides of the fairway. So, if you go left to about 10 yards left of the fairway, you're in hazard. Right, 10 yards of the fairway, it's hazard. The interesting thing to me, and I didn't realize this until I talked to the guys I was playing with who have played here before, both of those are kind of like marsh areas, and during the dry season, what ends up happening is they actually dry up, so you can hit out of it. And if it's wet, it's going you can't you won't be able to hit out of it because it'll be like a marshland, and there'll be like standing water, which is really interesting. So on the I hit my drive into the right hazard, but I had plenty of a lie to be able to go and hit out towards the green. So kind of leaves an interesting dynamic that changes throughout the year there. But it's kind of an unfair if it is water on both sides, and kind of an unfair tee shot design on this par five, because I think at the widest path where I carry the ball, it's 45 yards total landing space between two hazards. It's an interesting design, but I think it's probably more just based upon like the local environmental factors that they had to put into place here. Number four, it's a about a 380-yard par four, slight dogleg left. This one I could not hit driver, because there is kind of like it starts to narrow and funnel up towards the end of the fairway. So I ended up hitting about a 2 iron and then try to hit a pitching wedge onto the green from there. So I couldn't really, bully this hole either. This green was pretty intricate, big swale in the middle, where after the swale it goes down hill, downhill into the back of the green. So pretty interesting putting surface, and overall like that hole. Number five, I had a little bit of a challenge with. So it's about 330 from the back tee to the middle of the green as the crow flies. So you're thinking, oh yeah, drivable par four. No, like besides the green, there's really no place to bail out if you hit a driver. It's marshland on the right, marshland on the left. While it is dried out, there is a lot of like heavy straw and stuff like that, so you don't want to be in it. And then the fairway is super wide up until about, what is this, 240 yards out, and then it jets out to about 75 yards wide fairway, but it's only about 20 yards deep. And if you really want to look at it, just look at it on Google Earth. It doesn't really make any sense. This to me spells out that I don't like this hole. I don't like the design of it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's saying like, oh, you're gonna make people place this shot at 220 yards in this really specific area. But the problem with that is if it's a links style course, it plays firm and fast. Like, okay, that's just gonna roll out into the crap then. So now you have a fairway landing area that's 75 yards wide that rolls out into the crap, or you have this 10 yard slot on the right where it lands perfectly and rolls out, and then you're in a little sliver of fairway. So yeah, I can't tell if this was just poor design, if it was an issue with the land that they had. Like, I think some of the issues come, in terms of routing with this course, with neighborhoods building up next to it and property boundaries. So I don't think Brad Bell's to blame necessarily, but there are definitely some limitations on this course. Next hole six, straightaway par four with a little bit of an inlet that comes in for that hazard area. It's about 300 yards from the back tee to that beginning of that hazard inlet. So I hit a three wood there. If you hit, you can drive driver there and roll it up. It's totally fine. Besides that little inlet, it's a pretty benign par four. Nothing crazy here. Pretty straight away. But it does make you think about, okay, do I want to hit driver here, or do I just want to hit three wood and just guarantee that I'm short of that inlet? Number seven was a really interesting par five. I had noticed that the back tee box doesn't look like it's being used anymore. It's overgrown now, so they must have made it shorter over time. But it's a hard dog leg right where you can kind of cut the corner if you're a long driver, but ultimately you want to be aiming for this bunker that's basically at the edge of the fairway and just hit a kind of a draw off of it. And if you're a shorter hitter, hit that hits the driver about 280, you'll be short of that bunker and you'll be able to have a good shot at the green. If you're a longer hitter, you're going to want to cut the corner a little bit. I thought it was a pretty decent par five. As the crow flies, it's not that long. I think it's 510 straight to the hole, but probably plays closer to 540. So definitely liked that. Number eight, par three, pretty straight away, 165 from the back tee to the middle of the green. Flat, nothing crazy, pretty, frankly, basic par three. That's not. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. It just doesn't really stand out. So just gotta just mention that. And then nine is an actually pretty interesting finishing hole. So from the back tee box to the landing area that I was going for over the bunkers was about 280. So the bunkers weren't in play for me. So the fairway widens up, but if I hit it too hard and the fairways are firm on the left, there's a risk I go in the water. But otherwise, I'm hitting, a 4 iron off the tee, and then I don't have a gap wedge or a chip wedge. I have, what would this be for me? Yeah, about an 8 or a 9 iron in. So ultimately, the choice doesn't become, it becomes driver because the strokes gained opportunity for me to have a flip wedge in instead of an 8 iron. It's just massively different. So I actually enjoyed the design of this hole. And now we get to the back nine, and the back nine changes a little bit. So all those holes I described to you don't have holes that are parallel to them, right? So you know how a lot of courses kind of go back and forth, right? And where there's like kind of like a parallel fairway. There's no parallel fairways here. So in terms of big misses, there's not a lot of opportunity for big misses onto other fairways, which makes it very target golf specific, which is a good thing. But that does slightly change in the back nine, and I'll describe what I mean in a second. So number 10, I think, is a great hole. It's about 345 yards as the crow flies to the green. The fairway does kind of filter in at about the 270 mark, so I hit a 2 iron there just to get it up on the fairway and have a it's a semi-blind shot into the green, so you kind of got to know what the green looks like and where the pin is. It is a longer green, but I do like this hole. I do think that I played it the right way and would continue to. And it does not have a hole that's really parallel alongside of it, so you can't really miss off the tee. If you do go in the crap, you pretty much are screwed. There's no big misses to fairways. This does change as we get to the next hole. So number 11, I actually quite like this hole, to be fair. So not a lot of criticisms for the design. It's a dogleg right par five. It's about 540 as the crow flies, probably plays closer to 560, 570 from the tips. You can cut the corner here. I aimed straight over the trees on the left side and hit a cut, and I had about 240 to the green. The tee box to the fairway does go uphill, and then it goes back downhill to the green. So I think they're just using the natural contours of the hills that they were building on to design this course, and I'm kind of like that. It does lead to a lot of blind shots, but this is something you kind of have to get used to. This is where we start to get the parallel fairways, though. So if you miss far enough right, you are onto the parallel fairway that I believe, what number is that? That is 17. So there, it does feel like you can have a big miss there and totally be fine. 12, pretty standard par 3. I believe it's 160-ish, 155. Let me just double check. Yeah, 165 from the back tees. So if you're getting the theme here of the par 3s, all of them are typically the same yardage or within about 10 to 15 yards of them, depending on where the pins are. I think this course has 5 par 3s. I think I hit the same club maybe 3 out of the 5. And that kind of bothers me a little bit. I'd rather have like 120 and a 200, and so the routing on that and the design a little bothers me a little bit, but otherwise a pretty standard par 3. 14, I believe that's 14, no, 13, excuse me. Longest hole in the course in terms of how it plays. It's a 460 yard par 4 uphill, and it plays every bit of 460. I went driver 6 iron, which for me on a par 4 is pretty long. There's a bunker on the left side that you can hit into. It's about 320 out. I didn't really have a risk of getting into it, so I kind of aimed just straight at it, ended up in the rough and hit a 6 iron onto the green from there. So it is a kind of brutal par four in that way. Something that was interesting was that the back tees to the next up tees, so like from a black to a blue, for example, it's 130 yard difference in the tee area. That's a big miss to me. You shouldn't have like the most beastly par four on the course just for the people playing the tips, and then move it up to about, what is this, 300, yeah, 350 yards for the next one up. There should be a tee box at the 400 or 415 mark. So that's a little bit of a bother to me that that's the case and there's not something in between. So that's a little bit of a bummer there. You also have the big miss available on the right side. There's a par five that kind of comes along it. So the big right miss is always open here. Next hole. Pretty straightaway par four downhill. There is one of those holes where there's a speed slot. So if you carry it about 280, it could kick straight downhill and you could have a little flip wedge into the green, which is pretty cool. Again, big right miss in play here. So pretty standard. This next hole, this par five, I thought I liked it on paper and then I played it and I'm like, this is kind of BS. So it's 500, and as the crow flies, it's 460, but it's a massive dogleg left with trees all along the left side. So there's no cutting the corner here, which really bothers me. And not like, hey, it's they're far enough away where you can kind of take it on. No, there are big honking trees right off the tee box that you cannot dodge, because I did hit one trying to get a little aggressive here. So, and how it's designed, the fairway is super thin and runs out to about, 260. And there's bunkers on the left side, and it's about 265 to carry the bunkers, but you can't take on the bunkers because there's trees in the way. So ultimately, you have to hit a snap hook, draw, or just lay up, which, frankly, for a hole that probably plays closer to 500 something yards, yeah, 540, if we're going shot by shot. It just doesn't make any sense, and it's just kind of poor design slash limitations of the land slash development. 16, next hole, par 3, downhill, about 180 yards from back tee to middle of the green, water short left, pretty stock standard par 3. Again, this is another hole where it's like 160 to 190, and so depending on where the pin is, you're hitting the same shot every time, which gets on my nerves a little bit. 17, another par 4 where you go uphill then back downhill so you can't see the green from the tee box. It is one of the longer par 4s. It's 440. Does not play that much. It played downwind very much when I played it. So, when I hit, I think I went like driver wedge maybe, or something like that. So, does not play that long, but does have the big miss right open if you do happen to go to the right because there is a fairway from, I believe, number 11. And then the last hole, super, super, super downhill par three, about 200 yards. And because it's downhill, it plays about 180, which is about the same distance as to all the other par threes, which, gets on my nerves, like I said earlier. Overall, architecturally, I like the front nine a lot. I think the front nine is really interesting from a target golf standpoint, although the short, not dr short slash kind of drivable par four gets on my nerves because there's no smart way to play this hole. And what I mean by that is you can make the right decision, and then the right decision is taken out of your hands because of the course conditions, and the way the hole's designed. And the smart decision should be celebrated in course design, and it's not here, and that bothers me. But other than that, I really enjoyed the front nine. The back nine, not as much. The back nine was much more forgettable to me. Pretty different, from the front nine to the back nine, which I do think more likely than anything, the routing was a limitation of the development of the area. When you're building a housing community around a golf course, there's a lot of deals involved where you have certain amounts of land you can use, and so your routing is probably super limited based upon that. So I think Brad Bell did a good job with the areas he had. I do wish the par threes were a little bit different in terms of distance. Like, hell, make one 140 yards, make one 220, change up the yardages a little bit more. They all sit around that 160 to 190 range, and they all play those yardages to where if the pin's in the front on the longer ones and the pin's in the back on the shorter ones, you're hitting the same club every time, which is boring. I want to hit different clubs on par threes. This really doesn't compare to the Yocadehi, course that Rob did. If you listen to that, or excuse me, Brad did. If you listen to that episode, you'll hear me talk about it's a sprawling championship style golf course where tournaments are meant to be played, and it's a challenge. It's 7,300 yards. It's a beast. This is not that course. It is a completely different course. It's supposedly a links style. I have a little bit of a disagreement with that, but it's target golf. Yocadehi's not target golf. Yocadehi is, I'm going to beat the hell out of you with this distance, with how fast the greens are, with how good this course is manicured, and you won't be able to score well because of how fast and firm the greens are rolling, plus the distance. It's a very different challenge. So I like that he's malleable and able to do different designs. I think the Yocadehi design is better, but I also think he had better land to work with. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Pricing wise for the golf course, super reasonable. I think it was $60 for a weekday, for me to get a cart and go play at like, I think it was 11:30 when I teed off. It does get more expensive on the weekends. I believe it's like 70-ish bucks on the weekend. Let me just double check that here real quick. So the fee on weekend, yeah. So fee on weekend, $70 plus $10 for excuse me, plus $10 for a cart. So value, I think the value is there on the weekdays. I think they have a good Twilight program, and the Twilight seems to be open, which I'm into, and I can play the front nine only, which is also something I'm into. But it's a little expensive. If you have the time to go drive to some of the other courses in the area, Mather, Ansel Hoffman, well, they are in not as good shape as this one is in particular, I think are better value options than Folsom, but that's just my opinion. Take that for what it is. It doesn't mean I'm not going to play it. I'm still going to play it a bunch, but value I think is important when people are spending their hard-earned dollars on fun. So, cool. Well, I hope you guys like this episode. If you liked it, subscribe for more content, and I'll have a couple more course reviews and some other stuff coming up in the future. So, I'll see you guys later. Peace.